This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome you and greet all you listeners to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And boy, today does it need to be raised in so many areas, in the church even, the things that are being taught and all that happens. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. It's our privilege to be here. So we just ask you to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to you. And I'm going to talk about some prophetic things, and I don't know what Margie's going to share, or necessarily, or Melody, or Bob, or my wife, but I'm going to start off with this, and then we'll see what God does with it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So we want to say hello to who, Donna?
Roscoe and Audrey on
Andros Island.
Andros Island in the Bahamas. Oh, and we have to show some pictures because the roof is starting to go up little bit. So praise God. So be praying for them. And also, if you'd like to put some finances towards that ministry, you can send it to us, and we give them every single penny that comes in.
That's right.
Amen. So I also want to mention, so we say hello to you, Roscoe and Audrey, over on Andros Island, the Temple of God, people from the Temple of God on Andros Island. And we also want to mention that we have Shabbat today, this afternoon, at 2 o'clock. So come on over to Alliance Church, Stewart Alliance Church, and that's at 445 Osceola Street in Stewart, Florida. Amen. Our phone number here, if you'd like to call, is area code 772-285-7007. We're blessed to be here this Saturday, this Shabbat, and we say Shabbat Shalom to all of you out there listening. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor Gene.
So we're honored to be here with you. And we were just talking before we came on. This book I have in front of me, the Holy Bible, this is a marvelous book. It's a living word. There's so much in it that we haven't even discovered yet that God wants us to know. But things are being uncovered all the time. And I'm reminded, while we're here, I'm going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, we're going to come back, so keep your finger there. And we're going to go to Genesis 29. I want to go to Deuteronomy 29. This was a verse that when I first got thinking and studying about the prophetic word, and having a prophetic mind instead of just reading it like it's a book and there's nothing behind it. But there's a lot behind it that God wants us to know that the church is not revealing today. So I'm slowly getting there too. I should have turned there. I didn't know I was going to go here, but the Lord just quickened me to do this. Chapter 29. Hallelujah. The very last verse in chapter 29 is a very, very important verse. It says this: the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And some things we may not know until we get to glory. But those things which are revealed belong to us. That means you and I and you listeners and to our children forever. And here's the reason why. That we may do all the words of this what? Law or the Torah. So he's revealing some things. But I've heard a lot of things taught and seen things. And what I'm going to share with you for a few minutes, I may just put an appendix in my book and add this to it. You know, we've heard these things that there's nothing in the first covenant regarding anything at all about the church. But I've got two things to show you here today, that if we have a prophetic mind, we can see God's foundation for Israel. We know that, but also it alludes to the people that are going to come later on, the Gentiles, and with the Jewish people at the same time. So I'm going to take you to Genesis 29. And you should, if you read your Bible, you should know about Laban, how he changed Jacob's wages 10 times. And we know that Jacob loved Rachel, wanted to marry her. Well, his father-in-law tricked him and gave him Leah instead, and he had to serve another 7 years, which is a picture of Jacob's trouble as well.
Yes.
And so if you look at Rachel and Leah, Rachel is a picture of the nation of Israel. Why? Her two sons came in last. And then we have Leah, which was, she was hated, okay? She was hated by them. And so God chose her to come in first, and she brought four of the patriarchs in. But those first four are so important for us to look at. So I would challenge all you readers, when you read your Bible, look up all these names and see what they mean. It'll tell you a little bit about their life. Amen?
Amen.
So for time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 30. It says, he, this is Jacob, went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now we're back to this thing we talked about when Jesus said what? The first will be last, the last will be first. The Jews should have came in first, but they rejected what God was doing with the Messiah. So they're going to come in at the end. So look at this now. It said, and Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again. This is the fourth time. And bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. And we notice there's four, right? So we got almost, when Jesus came, it was 4,000 years after Adam was on the earth, okay? Now here's an interesting thing. We have a prophetic window right here to how we come to Christ, okay? We have to come to the Lord to start with. Well, look at this. First of all, it says Reuben. What's his name mean? It means to what? To see. So what do?
We see.
We see. We can go to church. We can see it on TV. We see, okay?
See it in our Bible.
In our Bible. And then the next one that came was Simeon. His name means to hear. So we hear the message of Christ, okay? And then the next son that came was Levi. And his name means what? To be joined to. And in the fourth one that came, his name was Judah. And what's his name mean? Praise.
Praise.
So right here you have the gospel. What do you have? To see, to hear. Amen?
And hear.
To hear, to be joined to, and then we praise him. It's a picture of the Messiah. Amen.
Wow.
And us coming to the Lord. Now, the other place I want to go, and I'll turn it over to somebody else, I want to go over to 2 Kings. When we went to Israel one time on a tour, I wanted to share this, but our bus driver, or our tour guide, Gideon Shore, was going to let me do it, but they ran out of time on one of the bus trips, and we didn't get to do it. Now, we're going to read some scriptures, and we're going to ask you, as we read these things, ask the Lord to let you think prophetically to something in the future with all this, okay? Amen?
What chapter?
Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Now, we're going to start at the beginning. Now, if you read your Bible, you know about Elijah and Elisha, two different people. Elijah is really a picture of the Messiah. And Elisha's those are going to serve the Messiah, amen? So let's look at this real close for a moment here. We're going to read some verses. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. You notice he's going to stick really close, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And all the prophets knew that Elijah was going to go that day, but they stood afar off, and he was the one that wanted to go with him. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets, they were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So we're seeing some things here that God wants us to come to him and remain with him, no matter what the cost, okay? And we see this with Elisha. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, unto who? To Elisha, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, which was actually a tallit, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, who's this? Elijah, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Mm-hmm. He took also the mantle. This is the tallit of Elijah that fell off from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view of Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So if you read the scriptures, you'll find out that Elisha did exactly double the miracles that Elijah did. But let's go back to the beginning. God sent them to four places. And what do we see over in Genesis? Four names.
Four places.
And we're going to see four places that keys in with us thinking about in the future about the gospel and how we come to the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So look at this. Where'd they go first? They went to a city called Gilgal. What does Gilgal mean in the Hebrew? It means rolled away. When we come to Christ, what happens? Our sins are rolled away.
Amen.
The next place they came to a place called Bethel.
Bethel.
What is Bethel? What is it? It's the house of God. So your sins are rolled away. You become part of the house of God. And the third place they went to was what? Jericho. Jericho, huh?
Wow.
A place of fragrance. So think about it. Jericho means a place of fragrance. So here we are. Our sins are rolled away. Okay. We become the house of God, and we're a sweet fragrance to God. And what would be the fourth one? It's got to be something about water and the baptism. So we go down to verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. So they went down to the Jordan. So what does that represent? It's talking about a descending flow of water, which is a picture and a pattern of the baptism of the Holy Ghost when we receive the Spirit of God. So right here, we have a clue what's going to happen in the future to how we get into the kingdom of God, the steps that we have to go through, don't we? First of all, we have to come to the Messiah, don't we? And then we go to these places. I like this. Sins are rolled away. We become the house of God. We're a sweet fragrance. Aren't you glad? And then we go down to the descending waters, and we get into the river of God to serve him. So there's two examples, and they're both with fours, because Christ came after 4,000 years. So we saw that in Genesis chapter 29 with the first four sons that Leah had and all that. I think it's an amazing picture to tell us some things as well. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
So we went to Israel. I asked our tour guide, Gideon Shore, I was going to share this, and he was going to let me do it, but they ran out of time. I was going to share this on our bus about how we come to the Lord. And it's an amazing picture. So we see Elijah here. Who would he be a picture of, Elijah? The Messiah, wouldn't he?
You said the Messiah.
That's right. And so what, Elisha is what? Those that followed him. So they followed him wherever he went. Don't we follow Yeshua wherever he goes, okay? So he's a picture of what? Of all the saints that come together.
And he went up without, he didn't die?
Nope.
And the chariot of fire and the horses of fire swept by and separated the two of them.
Right.
It says that in the scriptures.
Yeah.
One thing I think is interesting, too, is there were 50 men of the prophets.
They went looking for him.
They were, yes. Well, even before that, they stood afar off.
They knew he was going to go,
but
didn't they?
But they knew he was going to go. See, a lot of people know that Yeshua is coming back to catch away the church.
That's right.
But they're standing afar off, aren't they?
That's right.
But and then you talk about that the tallit. You know, he didn't need the tallit when he went to heaven, did he?
Nope.
But Elisha needed the tallit. Mm. And that tallit is a picture of, the anointing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the healing and the glory. And, you know, everyone, Jewish people in Israel, where they all have tallits.
All the men, the women all, don't, but the
no,
men do.
Right, but here in the United States, some women have tallits as well, and they wear them for during the holy days. And you know, Yeshua had a tallit, didn't he?
Yep.
And he even talks about that even during his crucifixion. It talks about the cloth that wasn't torn. So here we see, you know, there were 50 of them that knew about what was going on. They knew he was going to leave. They weren't ignorant of it. They knew he was going to leave, but there was only two that stood by the Jordan, stood by the water. And what? Because, you know, that anointing that Elijah had was passed on to Elisha.
That's right.
Yes.
And he, like you said, he did double the miracles.
Absolutely.
And so then they started following him. But they even went to hunt after and look for Elijah. But
they couldn't find
they
him.
They couldn't find him. No, God
he was
took
gone.
Him. God took him. So I think it's keeping your eye. You know, you can know something and keep your eye on something, but if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, you know, they should have all been, I think, not just following from afar off, but there's always special people that God has an anointing on, because if we go back to how Elisha came to follow Elijah in the first place, well, we can see other miracles as well.
That's right. So it's an incredible picture. And you know, I hear this taught a lot, and if you believe that, that's your choice. But we got this thought that the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 13 are going to be, one of them's going to be who? Elijah, okay? Now think about this. We don't have one precedent in the Word of God where he was caught off of the earth, put into a supernatural body, and then God was going to bring him back and put him in a physical body on the earth again, and then kill him in the streets of Jerusalem, and then raise him after 3.5 days. Does that make any sense? It does not.
No.
But we have that taught, you know? So I'm with Arnold Fretchenbaum. He's a Jewish man. He looked at all that, and he feels those two witnesses in Revelation are going to be two men with the same anointing and power that Elijah and Moses and all of them had, but it's going to be two different men. And the names are not given, so why do we assume things that are not there? But we do that. And I think most times when God's going to do something, he'll tell you who it's going to be.
Yes.
He don't leave it up to your imagination. And so we have to keep some things in mind when we study this. And I'm reading a book right now that I got years ago called Forbidden Knowledge, and Bob gave me a new copy of it. And some new things have been added. And this young lady that wrote this, I mean, she was way ahead of her time. But she took every appointed time that we have in the Word of God, the Jewishness, and brought it into the New Testament to show what God was going to do in the end of days. And so we got to learn how to look at those things. You know, we're always wanting to get something, make us feel good, give us doodads or whatever. Well, to me, this gives me doodads because I know how this is going to end. We know that Jesus has already fulfilled the early rain, you know, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. We know that. But the last three, you know, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles have not been fulfilled in his life. So we know the time of the year when he's going to come back. That's when it's all going to happen. So why don't we look at this and see what God wants us to know? And so this kind of fills in some things as well. We got to stick with the Messiah. Just go by his word. You know, I hear all these teachers teaching prophecy, and you hear all kinds of things. And when the bookstore was open here in town, I used to go in there, and the lady that was running the bookstore says, "Pastor Gene, there's a book in here you ought to look at." And I'm a pretty quick reader, and I'd pull it off and look at it. And I used to think when I'd read it, I'd say, "You know, God, you must be confused yourself what you're going to do at the end. There's so many different opinions. He's going to do this. He's going to do that." No, the Word tells us exactly. And if you watched Perry Stone last week, Manifest, he covered the whole thing. I mean, I was jumping up and down in my heart. He was covering the whole thing all around what God did with the Jewish people and how it relates to us in the church to grow up and mature and know when things are going to happen. He covered the whole thing. It was incredible. And he taught it in Israel as well over on one of his tours. Yes, honey. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. So we got all these patterns.
Yes.
I like pattern. I'm a pattern man.
Yes.
I like to see the patterns. Mm-hmm. They reveal things to us that God wants us to know. But see, we have to have a mind to look at the deep things of God and not just superficial things. We just read that. The secret things of God belong to him, but the things that he gives us is for us, our children and all, so that we can keep and understand the Torah and the things that God's given us. And so these are very important, and there's tons of them in the Bible. You can go all through the Bible, and there's just one right after another to show us what God's wanting us to know. So it's really not a mystery, although Paul called it a mystery, didn't he? There was a lot of things that was a mystery, but the mystery's over. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the catching away. He said it's a mystery. You know, some of you may not die. Some of you will be alive when you're caught off the earth. That was a mystery before that time, you know. But was it really a mystery? We had Enoch and we had Elijah. They were caught off there. We talked last week about the day of transfiguration when Yeshua, his light glory, his reflection, his glory came out, and Peter, James, and John saw all that. And what happened? Peter immediately thought they were in the kingdom of God. "Let me make a tabernacle for you three and for the Lord." We thought he was in the Feast of Tabernacles. And so God was showing us right there how we're going to get into the kingdom of God. There's going to be people going to die and go by the way of the grave. There's another group that's going to be caught off the earth. The Bible makes that clear. Some people don't believe that, but I do. And then the third thing is there's going to be a huge number that's going to survive Jacob's trouble in their physical bodies and go into the kingdom. They're going to be in it. So that was Peter, James, and John. They were there. Moses was a picture of what? Those that went by the way of the grave. Elijah was what? Those that are caught off the earth. So I can't comprehend ever that Elijah and Enoch's going to come back and be put in a body again, and then God's going to have them killed by the Muslims, no less, if you read chapter 13 of Revelation real close, because they left them lying in the streets for 3.5 days. The Jews would never leave a dead person, a Jew, in the streets for 3.5 days. So
they wouldn't
do that. So
you know, the other thing that I think that's so powerful about this, it shows that the faithfulness of Elisha. He would not leave. He would not leave Elijah. He stayed with him, and no matter what.
No matter where he went.
No matter where he went, he stayed with him.
That's right.
So that's a picture of faithfulness, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what we have. We have to be like the Elishas. We have to follow the Lord wherever he goes.
Amen. And glory to God.
All right, Melody, you're chomping at the bit over there.
Thank you. What a great teaching. Boy, we're so blessed. I just kind of wanted you to go on. But anyway, thank you for that so much. And speaking of that is that we're going to kind of go into the cost of discipleship.
Okay.
And persecution of just one Christian affects us all. Approximately, there's 245 Christians that are high risk. In the year of 2019, extreme levels of persecution. I just wanted to read this to you. Vice President Pence, during the commencement for Liberty University, graduates of 2019, he shared this with the graduates. How can we Americans complain that we might be shunned or ridiculed for defending the teachings of the Bible while churches burn in Burkina Faso? How can we?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you're going to say, where's Burkina Faso, right? Okay. Well, first of all, if you've ever visited Colorado, well, it's going to kind of look like that. It looks like the state of Colorado, just a little bit larger. It's found in West Africa. And there you're going to find the families that hide the Christians there are killed because they're looking for Christians. And so if you're hiding one, you're going to be killed. So I thought that was a great comment that that he had made. And the Christians still remain, as of today, Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna, the most persecuted religious groups in the world.
Yeah.
Persecution for Christians, how do you define that? Hostility experienced as a result of identification of Christ when one finds their identity in Christ. And I will say, brothers and sisters, if you don't know your identity, you're going to find it through the Word of God. And if you're a believer, that's where our identity comes from. It's
right.
Not what the world says, and the world will say it and give you labels and everything else. That's not true. It's what the Word says about us.
That's
and
right.
That's what we're to line up with. And also it says Christians throughout the world, they risk imprisonment, loss of homes, assets, torture, beheading, rape, and even death as a result of what? Of our faith.
That's right.
It's our faith. Christians remain the most persecuted religious group in the world because we face the most widespread harassment. Believers are targeted in over 144 countries globally. Globally. Mm. Now, what does this lead us to? This leads us to the cost of discipleship.
Right.
Okay, I want to break the word down, discipleship, and let's start with disciple. Pastor Gene, what does that mean to you to be a disciple of Christ?
You're following Christ with his teachings and his things to train us, right?
That's right. That's right. And also with that, Yeshua told us, he told his disciples, and it relates to us, listeners. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master.
Amen.
If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And that's in John 15:20. Mm-hmm. So he's telling us right now, listeners, we can read this and we are going to also be persecuted. Mm-hmm. Because the word, Yeshua says that. And what he went through, we've gone through.
Well, most of us have gone through things if we look back on our walk with the Lord, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to get into that too, Pastor Gene, about that. And also, Pastor Gene, we're going to get into how to exactly walk through that. And we're going to equip the saints today. Because a lot of things come in our lives, but a lot of people don't know how to walk through it.
Right.
And what God has a purpose and a reward for that. Okay, let's go down to the word discipleship. What exactly is discipleship? You want to answer that?
Well, it's someone that's willing to disciple people, and the people that have ears to hear must accept that and believe and receive what they're trying to say. So Jesus discipled what? All of his disciples that with him. So he had discipleship with every single one of them, even with the thief, which was Judas. What happened? You know, he still loved him, and he did the same thing with him as he did with the others.
That's right. That's right. Also, too, discipleship is also the process where disciples grow in the Lord. And I always also call that sanctification, too.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
They're equipped by the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. As we talked about before on our show, that remember the Holy Spirit would come upon them.
Right.
And, you know, and then it would transfer on. Okay, now as believers, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And it resides in every believer's heart. And why it did? Because it helps us to overcome the pressures and the trials of today. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit does. And we can be victorious in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we become more and more like him. And that's from glory to glory to glory. And also, too, the process requires the believer to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting. To do a couple things. One is that we have to respond to the Holy Spirit. Two, we're going to examine our thoughts, yes. Our words, and our actions. And then we're going to compare it to the Word of God. Remember, brothers and sisters, it has to line up with the Word of God. And Scripture is going to interpret Scripture.
That's our foundation, isn't it?
This is our foundation. How's this done, you may ask? Well, one, by being in the Word. Okay, two, we're going to study it daily. Three, praying over it. Four, obeying it. And five, be ready to give a testimony of the reason for the hope that is written within us in 1 Peter 3:15. And when it says that we have to be ready, how are we going to be ready is by staying in the Word. telling him the word. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, put in your hearts, Reverend Christ is Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Yes. And I want to really emphasize that, the gentleness and the respect. Because a lot of times today, I know people have a lot of knowledge, and they come across, you know, not so gentle and with respect.
Yeah.
Okay? And so for a backdrop today of our scripture, I want everyone to turn, if you have your Bibles or your phone, I'd like you to open up to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. And also, listeners, this is a good time maybe to grab some paper and some pen, because I know you're going to want to take notes. There's going to be a lot of scripture.
Romans 8, right?
Yes, Romans 8, verses 35 through 39.
Okay.
Okay, this is kind of going to be our background verses. Okay, Bob, could you be so kind to read that to us?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Mm-hmm. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Hallelujah.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I want to use your eyes of understanding, and I want you to look at verse 35 and then look at verse 39. What do you see there? We're starting with a question, and listeners, you can do this too. I want you to look at verse 35 and then look at the last verse 39. What do you see there?
There's nothing's going to separate us from God, yeah.
Nothing from Christ. Nothing. Both of them, Christ is mentioned.
And
in both.
What does 35 say to us? What does it start with?
Who
shall separate us from the love
Nobody
of Christ?
Nobody and nothing.
Yes, and the last 39, nothing's going to separate us. So let me share with you, no matter what we do, nothing and what we go through, nothing is going to separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen.
And that is our security. I mean, that is our security. Okay, now looking at this verse, these verses we had, now let's look at the content of these verses. First of all, who's writing this?
Paul.
And it's coming from Paul's what? His experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot. Okay, so let's turn to, Bob, can you do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-29. So that's why I said grab your paper and pen, because we got some scriptures here today, and I know they're going to bless you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-29. Okay, while he's looking there, they'll give you all time to look too.
2 Corinthians 11, 22-29.
23-29.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In the journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Hallelujah, boy. Yeah.
Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not?
Yeshua tells his disciples in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. Once again, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Mm-hmm. He promised that if we follow him, we will be persecuted. Mm-hmm. And all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people underwent persecution all through the Bible. They were persecuted for their faith because their identity in Jesus, Yeshua. Apostle Paul, after being converted to Christianity, he became a missionary, and then he was beheaded for his faith and his identity in Christ. Mm. And Apostle Paul, he was reported to have been crucified upside down in the Roman arena.
Not Paul, Peter.
Apostle Peter.
Yeah.
He was reported to have been crucified upside down. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Paul. He was beheaded.
That's right.
He was beheaded. And what happened is that the Christians became like a form of entertainment in Rome.
That's right.
They did that. And believers, we need to be equipped, or if we're going to fall. So let's just see what the word says. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." And then we go down to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice," let's say rejoice, "but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also exceedingly in joy."
Amen.
Okay, I want to turn to James chapter 1, verse 12. It reads, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised." And I want to break that down a little bit. Let's look at steadfast for a minute. Steadfast means loyal, faithful, committed. Is this you? Is this us right now? We need to listen to this. Committed, dependable, someone who is firm and determined in a belief or a position. And I like this part, firmly fixed.
Sounds like Elisha, doesn't it?
Yes. And it needs to sound like us too. Because when we go through these things, we have to be firmly fixed. When we go through these trials and tribulations, and like we just read, don't be surprised, because we are going to go through them. If you are a believer, Marge, in Christ, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But we have to stand the test. We have to be able to go through it. And when we go through it, we're going to receive the crown of life, which God has promised. Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
praise the Lord. Praise
God.
The Lord. And also, crowns of life. Did you know that there are 5 crowns, Pastor Gene, of salvation? Did you know them? I'm just going to go through them quickly. And Bob, if you want to read some scripture, if you can be looking up 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. The first, Bob's looking it up. There's 5 crowns. The first crown, if you all want to write this down, is the incorruptible crown.
Yep.
Okay? It's also called the imperishable crown. Okay, this is given to the believers who faithfully run that race. Listeners, do you feel like you're running a race? I think we all do. Yeah. I think we all feel like we're running a race today. Okay, Bob, do you have that? Can you read that, please?
1 Corinthians 9. 24.
Yes.
"Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize?
Yeah.
So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible
crown.
I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway."
That's right.
Okay. So every man that strives for the mastery and temper in all things. Okay, what we're going to do, you got a purpose, okay, and you've got a reward. They're going to obtain a what? A corruptible crown. But we have the incorruptible crown, the imperishable crown. Okay, number 2, we're going into the crown of rejoicing. Bob, if you could be so kind to look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And Pastor Donna, can you do 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19? Okay, what is a crown of rejoicing? What do you think that is? It's really for those who are faithfully or witnesses to the saving grace of God and at least souls to Jesus, Yeshua. And I do want to say this to listeners as well as to us. If you don't have a heart to save souls, pray for it. Pray for it, because there's so many lost and hurting people today. And you have something that they need. You have Yeshua in your heart. They need him. And that's what changes us. They need to receive him. And you have something to give to them.
Give them life.
Yes, it gives them abundant life, actually. So if you don't have it, pray for it, because that's what it's about, is souls. Okay, go ahead.
1 Thessalonians 2:10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe.
Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Right. And remember when Pastor Gene was talking about the prophetic mind and things like that? We have to be looking for that, his coming, and be rejoicing for that, because Yeshua is coming.
Sure is.
He is coming. Amen. Let's all go down to number 3, the crown of life. Okay, so that's going to be found in James chapter 1, verse 12. And if you could be so kind, Pastor Donna, read Revelations chapter 2, verse 10.
James 1, 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Wow. Okay, did you hear that? Okay, when we endure temptation, okay, we're going to be tried. I'm sure all of us have. And then you're going to receive a crown of life. He's promised to that, to the ones that love him. So do you see what's happening here? So when we go through trials and tribulations, there is a perfect. But he has, Pastor Gene, he has a reward for us.
Sure does.
Okay, Pastor Donna?
Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That's happened, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Wow.
That's heavy.
That is. And like you said, it's happening now. They are in prison, and we're all going to be tried. That's right. But we have to endure, and we have to get through this. So hopefully this was going to encourage you. Okay, the fourth crown is the crown of righteousness. Right to the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The crown of righteousness. And why he reads that is those for who love the appearing of Christ, who anxiously wait and look forward to the day when he will return for his saints. I don't know about you. Are you excited about that? Are you
Amen.
Looking forward to that, for his return?
Yes.
And this crown's given to those who have lived good and righteous life for God. And down here. So if you're a believer and you're made righteous before God, which we are through him, through the righteousness, that we can receive the crown of righteousness. Okay, Bob?
2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing.
So we anxiously wait, don't we, Pastor
Sure
Gene?
Do. We wait. We're anxious.
Yes. Okay. Pastor Donna, could you be looking up 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4? Okay, the fifth one and the last one. I know you're going to love this one. The crown of glory.
Crown of glory, yeah.
The crown of glory. Crown of glory. So, and actually, we were so blessed to have, we had just had a speaker, Pastor
Breed.
Dr. Breed was with us last Shabbat, and she was speaking about the glory, about releasing the glory. So if you haven't got to hear her, I really encourage you to do that, because she really blessed us. So when I think of the crown of glory, she was equipping the saints about how to release the glory.
Hallelujah. You said 5, 1 through 4?
Yes, 1 Peter okay. chapter 5, 1 through 4.
Okay. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Okay, this reminds me of you, Pastor Gene. You know, you have a congregation and you feed the flock. You know, just what it says, you feed the flock. And you're such a great example of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there we go. We have five crayons that we're going to receive. So in our trials and tribulations, they are going to come. And we just want to equip the saints of how we're going to get through this. And I'd just like to leave you with this. When we enter into trials and tribulations, and we will, according to the Word of God, this not only serves as a purpose for the believer, but also there is a reward. And Marge, when we receive those crowns, what are we going to do when we go to heaven with them?
We're going to cast them back to Jesus.
Yes, we're going to cast them back. And we have the victory through life's trials and tribulations. So I want you to know that, Marge. We have the victory. So when we're in the midst of that trial and we get discouraged, get into the Word, because it tells us through Him we have the victory. And we have the Holy Spirit, Marge, that dwells within us, that gives us that power. But we have to stand, Marge, and we have to go through it. And then there's a reward for us. So brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual battle.
All the time.
Satan has no authority. Say with me, no authority over the believer in Christ.
That's right.
God's Word guides us, and the Holy Spirit manifests and dwells inside of us to enable us. So I just want to encourage every believer who is going through a trial right now that you are victorious through Christ. You can do all things through Him. Amen.
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 Amen. All right, Ms. Marge, what do you have here? This is good.
Very good. This is excellent. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Lord asked me to share something on Thanksgiving and being thankful.
It's good. It should be.
So I looked up the word Thanksgiving, and it means rendering thanks for good received, expressing gratitude, acknowledging kindness or mercy to one another. And if we could go to Psalms 27. That'll verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord
all the days of my life. Amen.
To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. In the Garden of Eden, where Adam and his abided until they sinned, thankfulness was as natural as breathing.
Mm-hmm.
The garden was filled with good and desirable fruit. But by Satan's temptations, he persuaded Eve to focus in on the tree in the midst of the garden. So in Genesis 3, sometimes we all can get fixed on something that we see. In Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said unto the serpent, We may not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat."
He never even questioned it, did he?
No. Thank you, Father.
Didn't say, well, what did God say about this?
Rather than being thankful for many good things that God set before them to enjoy, she focused her mind on what she didn't have.
Yeah, that's good.
And was not allowed to have. For God said, do not eat it or touch it lest ye die. Today, even right now, you, me, may be focused on things we may desire, but can't afford it, may not be a good decision according to God's plan or will for us. God always knows what we need before we even ask, and that can be found in Matthew 6:6 and verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask. Yes. Thank you, Father. God also likes to give us the desire of our heart. He knows our desires, so we can ask him, and he's always ready and able to help us in any time. And Psalms 37, you can find that scripture. 37, verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yes.
Notice it says to trust in the Lord and to do good. We are to be thankful to God for everything, bringing him the sacrifice of thanksgiving, taking nothing for granted.
Amen.
Like mostly important, our salvation, our health, sunshine, flowers, and many other blessings that are right before us. Walk in the light with Yeshua by practicing the discipline of thanksgiving. Always be thankful and content with what we have, with a thankful heart, and be hopeful in the Lord and trust him, waiting patiently for the things we desire from our hearts, not the lust, but from our heart. Amen.
It's good.
Very good, Margie. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So what do you got to say over there, my dear pastor wife?
Huh? I think it's all been really good. I think it's really been good. We've learned a lot of different things about trusting and also about this persecution, the persecuted church.
Yes.
And there's many persecuted, even the church, even in the United States, there's a persecuted church. And and actually, when you go around trying to change what God's word said, that's persecuting the church and the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of Christ, all the different lies that are being
perpetrated. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Yep. I was thinking about what Melody said about discipleship. I was reminded of James chapter 1, verse 25. This is what we must do. And James says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law or Torah of liberty. There's liberty in all that, isn't there?
Yes.
And continueth, listen, and continues therein. We have to continue. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed.
Yes.
So that's what we must do. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to be a disciple. And that's a good verse to tell us what we have to do. We have to be consistent with the Lord, looking into the Word, and let it cause us to mature and grow up. That's what we have to do. Amen?
And those that want to be discipled, they have to follow someone, don't
that's
they?
That's right.
So they should be following the truth.
That's it.
And
nothing but the truth.
The true word of God.
That's right.
Amen? Well, we have a couple of minutes. Did you have a scripture you wanted to
sure,
read, Bob?
Sure, I did have a scripture I wanted to read. 50 years ago, I was best man at a wedding, and a year later, he was best man at my wedding. And this week, he's teaching on Romans 7, and I was looking over his notes, and he made reference to Ephesians chapter 2 and how that the message through all of the epistles was the same in that Paul was consistent in the teaching of the truth. And in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it tells us what we were. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yes.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, that's
we got a couple of minutes left.
That's a good salvation
sure
message.
Sure is.
Amen.
That's
come
an
to
altar
Christ.
Call right there,
come
isn't
to
it?
Christ. Amen.
I can try on for two more.
That's you.
Thank you. Well, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together with the people listening on WCNO Radio. And I want to mention, too, that we do have a Shabbat service this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So come and visit us at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And the address is, it's at the Alliance Church. And the address is 445 Southeast Osceola Street. So we'd be love to have you visit us and see you. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And I believe Margie has her shofar, and we'll go out blowing the shofar. Now, you know, when the shofar sounds from heaven, that's going to
be gone,
the catching away. The catching away.
Amen. Thank
you,
we're
Jesus.
We're ready, Lord.
We're ready. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
And taken away up to heaven, amen, and meet the Lord in the air. Was to say the dead will rise first, and then we who are alive will go up with them and meet them in the sky. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We all want to say Shabbat Shalom. Margie?
That's good. So hallelujah. As we close this program, we tell you again this week, as we do every week, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.